And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday. Ken Cummins across the way, the legend.
Well, and across the other direction, your way, where you usually are.
Yes.
The Brian Marshall side bottom, the first. It's
wow.
Thursday morning.
It is.
And it's Independence Day Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
are
it.
Are you ready for the fireworks?
Well, hey, no. I mean, I like them.
Oh, I do, too.
I like them in person. Honestly, I don't get a whole lot of thrill watching them on Facebook where people tape them.
No.
Or record them. But if that's what they want to do, I'll rejoice with them that they got to see them. I'm not a fuddy-dud in that regard.
What was it, California, where the fireworks building blew up? And
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, it was all
did
over.
It go kaboom?
Oh, yeah, it went
was
kaboom.
Was it quite a show?
Yeah. The building light went boom, and then, of course, fireworks started.
I hate that.
My goodness.
Didn't injure anyone, did it?
I did not see anything on any injuries.
I hope not.
So, anyway.
Wow. Yeah, that which lends, there's a lot of information out there on how to be careful with those things. And,
yes.
And if you're going to handle them and do a show, make it sure someone that knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are shows around to enjoy.
Yeah.
Fredonia's having one. The Thunder in the Valley, was that last night? I forget when things are.
Well, that's all right.
I guess I'll need to look that up and see when it is. Yes. But I'm not going to push out dates here by memory.
Well, I know Elkton's having theirs tonight.
Tonight, okay.
Yeah, so Elkton have our fireworks tonight there in town, and a lot of activities going on as well. So,
well, that's good. Yeah. Just check social media.
Yes.
And different radio stations will tell you mm-hmm. when things are happening in around the area. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. Hey, Brian, before we go to music here on the front porch this morning, I want to let our faithful front porch listeners know something.
Yes.
Courtesy of Timothy Griffey and Andrew Cummins.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Timothy did, of course, all the tech end of it, and Andrew's been loading them up on the website. We have past broadcasts that we're calling podcasts of the front porch, minus the music. Now, and I need to tell you that because of licensing, you don't post music out like that.
Sure.
So the music's been taken out. But from February to the end of June, right now, there are past broadcasts of the front porch. You can listen to them at your on-demand and download mm-hmm. them if you so choose. Now, here is the thing. We have stopped mailing those CD copies. We will no longer do that. We were broken of that when we went to the post office, and the cost to send a CD, mm-hmm. we couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, maybe there's a mistake and that the clerk had made, and I don't know if it's he or she, but he or she, they were correct. And so we thought, nope, we're not going to do that. So if you need a copy of the front porch, and hope we do want you to listen, well, mm-hmm. now it's available on demand. You go to missionary.radio.
Mm-hmm.
At the very top, I believe it says podcast, doesn't it?
It does. It's in gray and white.
Yeah, and you click it, and it'll take you to out in the world, you'll see the front porch.
Yeah.
Click on that, and you just peruse the date you're looking for mm-hmm. and listen away. And I hope that you will.
If you want to hear the legend all the time, you can just
no,
listen to him.
No, you'll hear Brian Marshall side bottom
right.
the first on all of them.
Every one.
But on the others, on Monday, you'll hear Brother David Tucker mm-hmm. and Brother Joe Barner.
Yes.
On Tuesdays, a rotation between Mike Humble and Jim Dozer Adams. And sometimes Mike has Tim with him.
Odell, yeah.
Thank you. And his wife, Janice. That's
yes.
when that's when it's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, if you're listening, that's when we all listen.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd like for him to know that. That makes him feel
so
great.
So you're saying Janice is the star of the show?
I think she does. They both do well together.
They do a wonderful job.
And then Brother Bean Verbist on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Thursdays, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first, and I are on it. And then on Friday is Joe Barner along with, of course, Brian, all five episodes, unless he's rarely out.
Rarely.
That
like
is
I
true.
Was, like I was last
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, update the listening family. I don't know if you probably talked about it
yeah,
and I missed it.
I've talked about it a little bit.
Everything
course,
okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling much better. Yeah. Kidney stones.
Ooh.
Back a few weeks ago, of course, I had to put a stent in. Wear the stent a couple of weeks. Kidney stone busted up last Thursday. Boy, I tell you what. I think out of the four times I believe I've been put to sleep, that was the roughest. I come out pretty sore in my mouth and just everywhere, and very uncomfortable. Not a lot of trouble with where they, you know, the kidney stone issue. Not very much troubles there, but just, you know.
And you don't know what all takes place
you
when you're asleep.
You don't. Of course, I had a good time with my doctor, and I had a checkup with him, and I told him, I said, are you sure you didn't deck me while I was under? He got a kick out of that, and he said, no, I promise, I did not. So,
oh, well, I'm glad that you're up and at it, and I appreciate Brian doesn't miss, and when he missed last Thursday, well, Friday.
Yeah.
I said,
everything off, don't it?
It does. But we're okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to some music, and then we come back today. We're going to talk about the signers, some of them, of the Declaration of Independence, and, of course, a few thoughts on that, and just simply thank God for our freedom.
24/7
Missionary
Radio.
Our Lord Jesus made it clear what our mission is. He said in Matthew 28:19-20, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. One tool we have to get that done in our area is Missionary Radio, and worldwide in our partnership with TWR. I've heard for years how much you appreciate the fact that we're 100% funded by you, our listening partners. You are our only resource, and we believe by our faith in the Lord, you will respond, and that pleases the Lord. Right now, giving is extremely low, and we could use your kindness and help. Go online to missionary.radio, click on donate, and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System, or send your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241. Together, we're 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
You know, Ken, I like that old song.
Well, send the light, the blessed gospel light.
The blessed gospel light.
Let it shine from shore to shore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a great mission hymn, and it also, I recall, sitting in church as a little guy singing that, and it dawned on me exactly what that meant, and that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we need to send it that great message to all nations. That doesn't mean just geographical areas. It means to people groups. And all languages, they have the opportunity to hear the gospel in their own language. And I maintain and believe with all my heart, according to the history of the United States, that our ancestors came to these shores in this land for the purpose of religious freedom and to be able, and they came with the message of the gospel. Even Columbus, when he sailed the ocean blue in 1492, he had that on his heart. And we were started that way, and we need to continue that way. And for the churches, that is our scriptural responsibility and our mandate, that whatever vocation that we're in, if you're a plumber or a doctor or you're a domestic engineer or whatever you do, our whole responsibility is to share the light of Jesus Christ. And you live out our life around that and according to that.
Right.
And so here in these great United States of America, I think we have an unprecedented opportunity right here in our own shore, our own land, I should say, because there are opportunities that are abundant to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even with all people groups right here at our fingertips.
That's right.
Our first motivation, no matter politically or otherwise or anything, should be the love of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we accept breaking of the law. I do not, and I am not for coming across the border illegally. I'm going to go on that right now and say that.
That's right.
But those that are already here, we need to love and to care and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we have the freedom I just happened to try, I think about this each time this time of the year rolls around, just how much we realize the cost of that freedom and the ongoing battle for the freedom that we have. We hear in the rhetoric that goes on politically to the point of ad nausea that we're losing our democracy. You know, what we're losing is patriotism, and what we're losing is sacrifice. What we're losing is realizing that those who went on before us, the great price that they paid for our freedom. And so I think Brian's looking for a patriotic song as I speak. That's what he's doing. He's he's probably looking for one for Eric Corner, if that's not a clue
for
you.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at some Eric songs, yeah.
Well, freedom in America, don't forget this. Just some bullet points, and then we're going to look at some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Britain, at that time, was the world's superpower. They had better defense and more money than America. The 13 colonies lacked a professional army or navy. Now, think about that. Mm-hmm. Militiamen were lightly armed and had little training.
Okay.
But Britain, boy, they were ready. Now, if you had been a member of the Second Continental Congress in 1776, you were a rebel and considered a traitor by the king.
Okay.
Now, recently, we're talking, many have just talked about no kings. Well, we haven't had a king since 1776,
yeah.
and we still don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say we won't if we don't wake up.
True.
But I'm not talking about the current president or any other president or Democrat or Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about us being lackadaisical in our defense and being mm-hmm. wise to open our eyes mm-hmm. to see what's happening. But anyway, back historically, you knew that a reward had been posted for capture or certain prominent rebels and leaders of the British Army Armada were assembled just outside the New York Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the intensity of this. Affixing your name to the document, that is the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. meant that you pledged your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor to the cause of freedom. Let's break that down just a bit, and we'll talk about, again, some of the signers. We'll not get to all 56, I believe there were. Mm-hmm. But let me just say this. Now, you pledged your life.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you were on the hit list.
Sure.
And your family, your fortune. If you had any kind of financial or means or property,
mm-hmm.
well, it was on the line, too.
Mm-hmm.
And your sacred honor to that's a bigger one. They're not the biggest. To your call for the cause of freedom. Hmm. Yet there were members of the Second Continental Congress who did not sign the Declaration of Independence. Non-signers included John Dickinson, who clung to the idea of reconciliation with Britain, Robert R. Livingston, who thought the Declaration was premature. On July 4th, 1776, 56 representatives from all 13 colonies signed the Declaration of Independence. The 56 signers of the Declaration included two future presidents, three vice presidents,
okay.
and 10 members of the United States Congress. Hmm. Now, you think about all that.
Interesting.
Well, history is just that interesting. Some of mm-hmm. the true history doesn't get told.
Sure, sure.
And we're not all cases. I don't like to paint with a broad brush stroke and say everyone's a certain way, because that just isn't the case.
Yeah.
But in a lot of cases, some of the history that's being taught is more political identity and certain movements like wokeism or the alphabet soup group.
Yeah.
All of that. And that is not going to keep our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is not that important. What is important is what has taken place in the whole for the good of the all of the United States.
Yes.
And those that were then, those that are now, and those that are to come, if we guard our freedoms. The cost of the freedom. The writers of the Declaration separated themselves from their own past. They stood out and said, okay, here we are. We're on the line. The writers of the Declaration literally gave their lives. Now, to believe in a cause, I believe in the cause of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm willing to give my life for the Lord. I think so. I want to give my life as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it costs more to live for Christ than it does to die for Christ.
Mm.
Because you to present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
And that is exactly which is called our reasonable service. And that is exactly what these signers that we're going to look at did. Mm-hmm. Now, not all of them were evangelical Christians, as some will come across. In fact, you'll find that that's not the case, but they were devout people, and many were Christians, mm-hmm. and we'll look at that. And also, I will say to you that the treasure, how did the Patriots win the Revolutionary War? I mean, again, I'm just giving bullet points. All of these could certainly be, you could proliferate a lot and pontificate a bit. But anyway, the colonists were fighting for their homes. They had the will to fight, unlike the British soldiers, and other soldiers hired by the British were just fighting for the money they were being paid. Yeah, they believed in a cause, the Patriots. Britain had underestimated their opponent, and they finally came to the realization, hey, this is, whoa. They had the home advantage, too,
yeah.
by having the war here in America and a place they knew weren't able to get around easily. Now, just historically, the French and Spanish helped by becoming allies with the colonists and helping them pay for the supplies they needed. So let me just say in this first segment here on the front porch that our freedom dare not be taken for granted. From the birth of a nation until today, blood is shared. It was shed just like Jesus shed his precious blood for our freedom.
Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Well, let me just read one verse, and then we'll look at some of these signers here later. In Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. We don't have to keep serving sin. We are set free from that bondage. Well, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first, has his fingers on the buttons. So, Brian, do your thing.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, I so enjoy listening to the good music and programs on Missionary Radio. It's truly a blessing to me and to many others. From Madisonville, praise God for our freedom to have this wonderful radio station. And from Clarksville, I've been listening for many years and know that this ministry has helped sustain, nourish my soul through many life-changing changes and struggles. I praise God for all the years of steady and reliable outreach in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
And if you want to know more about Eric Corner, a great brother in Christ, good friend, and Eric Corner Ministries, but he's written hundreds of songs and very patriotic, and he ministers to the military in a terrific
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance to hear Brother Eric Corner, and I'm sure many of you that are listening, especially over in West Kentucky, and around this area, too, get to hear Eric Corner. But
mm-hmm. Good job.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to just do a quick plug here. Coming up on Missionary Radio on Monday and Tuesday, that's July 14th and 15th, a week from this coming Monday and Tuesday, John Somerville from TWR is going to be with us.
Okay.
And John is going to be sharing about Cuba Needs Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some time, we've been in partnership with TWR, and specifically on the island of Bonaire, which has a 450,000-watt AM station called Shine 800 AM,
mm-hmm.
and reaches into Cuba in the evenings. And I had the opportunity while there last month on a trip with Crofton Baptist that I had the opportunity to do some interviews of people that were touched in by that ministry.
Amen.
And it was a joy. And so I didn't go there with that specific assignment, but that was sure. Known that I wanted to do that. And the pastors announced it. I announced it, too, when I was speaking. And it absolutely came to fruition. But we're going to share with you, in addition to what we're already giving through this station, an opportunity to specifically to target Cuba Needs Jesus. They're having a very difficult time now financially. Mm-hmm. People are actually leaving Cuba. It's electricity. I saw this with myself that the electricity is off some 15 hours plus a day.
Oh, wow.
And even so, there's a shortage of medicine, a shortage of food, just all kinds of things. And so they're looking for hope, and the churches are vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that we talked about here on a couple of shows ago, I think I lose track, when I had guests here talking about the mission trip, about how vibrant that church is and active evangelistically.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be talking more about that. Please pray about it. If you go to our website, you can already get a head start.
Yeah.
You go to missionary.radio. You click on a little banner that says Cuba Needs Jesus, mm-hmm. two good-looking people there. And you click on it, and it'll take you right out there.
Yeah.
If you just joined us, we also have another little feature I want to plug. I'm just an old plugger this morning.
You
like
to plug, huh?
Yeah, you call me an old plug. You
know,
it's like an old horse or something. You old nag, you old plug. But anyway, I want to promote that now that you can listen to previous broadcasts, their podcast form of The Front Porch.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply go to missionary.radio and you click on up at the top. What does it read?
It says podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
And what happens when you click on it, Brian?
When you click on it, it's going to come up and you're going to see a rocking chair for the front porch.
I know where that's from, but I won't tell you.
Okay.
And so, but anyway, you click on it.
Yeah. And then once you do, you're going to have a bunch of front porches pop up.
And just listen away.
Listen away.
Now, we no longer send out CDs.
No longer.
But we do that,
mm-hmm.
and Andrew Cummins has been working on it. It only goes to June the 26th, so he'll get more up as he can.
Sure.
But there'll be a little delay. It won't be immediately up like that, but but it won't be long.
Sure.
But it goes all the way to February of this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go back and peruse those and just listen to your heart's content.
Mm-hmm.
And very soon you'll be able to get it off the app. Just click on it and go.
Okay.
And there'll be other things that'll be put up there too. But that's just our beginning.
All right.
Thanks to Timothy Griffey for getting that out there, and always does a terrific job.
Oh, yes.
Well, here on the front porch, we've been talking about, if you just joined us, tomorrow, as you know, is Independence Day, and some just call it July the 4th. I have no problem with that, but I understand that it is, for those that are not familiar with the United States, it's Independence Day.
Independence Day.
And I've been talking about the signers of the Declaration of Independence. I kind of set it up. Let's just talk about some of them. And this is from a site called Daughters of the American Revolution.
Okay.
DAR. I'm sure that will help you out if you want to check it out. I'm just going to pick some at random. Josiah Bartlett. You ever heard of Josiah? Me neither.
No.
from New Hampshire. Josiah Bartlett was the first delegate to vote for independence and the second signer after John Hancock. We know him. Geography dictated the voting order among the delegates to the Second Continental Congress. So the New Hampshire delegates voted first because they were the northernmost colony. That's interesting. So he became Josiah Bartlett. He became a physician, owned a medical practice in Kingston, New Hampshire. He was interested in politics and served as an active, energetic member of the colony's legislature. He had a strong reputation as a lawmaker, principled lawmaker, I like that,
mm-hmm.
and accepted dismissal by the royal governor from some of his committee assignments rather than abandon his opposition to royalist policies. And it goes on about his life, but he signed it. and he put his life on the line like the rest of them. He died at age 65, but he was an example of a doctor. All right, let me give you another fella. Have you ever heard of Matthew Thornton?
No.
Me neither.
Nope.
Again, these are some of the first signers. New Hampshire. Matthew was one of the last delegates, though, to sign. He was granted permission to sign the document, even though he arrived at the Second Continental Congress 3 months after the formal signing. So he was also active in politics, and he continued to serve his colony in New Hampshire. And it doesn't say much about his life, but he just died at age 89. But he was active. He served as a surgeon in the New Hampshire militia during the British expedition that captured Louisbourg and the French fortress in Nova Scotia. He was also active in politics. So he continued to serve his colony as the first president of the New Hampshire House of Representatives. So that's interesting.
All right.
Let's talk about one that you may have heard of, and that's John Adams.
Yeah.
And he said that, here's a quote. He said, "May none but honest and wise men ever rule under this roof." Those were President John Adams' thoughts about the presidency of the White House in November of 1800. So he was born in Massachusetts. He attended Harvard College. He was admitted to the bar and practiced law. He was, according to this site from the Daughters of American Revolution, he was an early convert to the cause of the American independence, and he wrote both political protests and scholarly tracts. He served on the committee that drafted the Declaration of Independence and enthusiastically advocated its cause in Congress. During and after the Revolutionary War, he served as a diplomat in Europe, helped negotiate the Treaty of Paris. He returned to America and became the country's first vice president in 1789. And so he became the nation's second president in 1797, which is a very important date. And he needed to direct much of his attention to achieving preserving relationship with France at that time. But John Adams died on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
So we'll talk about some of these others, and one of which that we all see, put your John Hancock here. We'll look at his life here in just a moment.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio. And Johnny, today you are celebrating something very special.
I sure am. Today marks the 43rd anniversary of my wedding to the amazing Ken Tada.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I only just thought of this, because not every radio host announces their wedding anniversary year after year after year. But for some reason, I always do. I mean, I started recording my radio programs back in 1982. That was the same year I got married. And every July since then, here on the radio, and 2025 marks 43 years, every July, I tell you, hey, it's Ken Tada's and my wedding anniversary. So why do I announce this milestone every year? Well, I think I do it because 43 years ago, there were people who, when they heard the news, said to Ken and me, "What? You two are getting married? Have you thought of what that means? Johnny, you're a quadriplegic. You're in a wheelchair. Isn't life for you hard enough? And does Ken really know what he's getting himself into?" Back then, I considered those people to be alarmists, uninformed, even rude. I mean, what did they know? Well, I confess, they knew a lot more than Ken and I did, because right after we married in 1982, we experienced some pretty rough years. There were a ton of extra challenges for Ken Tada. Everything took longer. Often we did not have enough help. There were unmet expectations, extra expenses. Then when we did get help, there were caregivers coming in and out of the house all the time. There were bruised feelings. Lots of things around the house didn't get done. Now, this could describe any marriage, but when you add to the mix a significant disability, it gets doubly, even triply hard. And I do believe this is why I mention my wedding anniversary here on the program every July, because God and His amazing grace got us through and is still getting us through. His mercy has brought Ken and me this far. And to him be the glory, because Ken Tata and I are happy. Despite all the challenges, we just think each other is the best. And looking back through those hard times, knowing what we do now, we would still tie the knot. We wouldn't change a thing. So each wedding anniversary for Ken Tata and me is a blessed milestone. We can honestly say, quote, thus far the Lord has helped us, like the prophet said in 1 Samuel 7, after winning a battle that everyone else thought they would lose, God pulled his people through. And so Samuel set up a memorial and announced, thus far the Lord has helped us. And that's Ken Tata and me. God pulled us through. It's why and how we glorify his name. God always seems bigger. He always gets the most glory when people like Ken and me need him the most. And boy, do my husband and I need Jesus a lot. Ken and I lean hard on the Lord, and that's what we are celebrating on this wedding anniversary. We're rejoicing that we're the kind of couple who leans hard on our Savior. Hey, Ken Tata and I did a little video talking about our marriage, and we posted it today at johnnyradio.org. So if you know a married couple who have recently incurred a disability or an injury or illness, share this program with them and point them to johnnyradio.org. Because I love sharing hope, the hope and the help of Jesus that's found in every weakness. Visit johnnyradio.org and watch this video of Ken and me celebrating our anniversary.
The current situation in Cuba is desperate.
No medicine, no food. They don't have power.
That's TWR's Anabel Torrealba.
The young can live, but the old cannot.
And it's getting worse.
I heard about people that are dying because they are so sick or because they get so sad that they stop eating and then they die.
But every night, TWR is broadcasting the hope of Jesus into Cuba.
The only hope they have is that little radio.
And the only Christian radio station that can be heard all across Cuba is TWR.
It's just giving them strength to go through the day.
Cuba needs Jesus. Cuba needs you. Partner today with TWR. Go to CubaNeedsJesus.org.
Join us for Cuba Needs Jesus July 14th and 15th on Missionary Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When Jesus called his disciples, his first command before he told them their mission was, follow me. What does it mean to follow someone? Imagine that you're in an unfamiliar place following a friend in your car. To get where you're going, you have to trust him to get you where you need to go, submit to their leadership, otherwise you get lost. Keep your eyes on them. If you lose sight of them, you'll get lost. Go at their pace, not get ahead or fall behind. That's what's involved in following Jesus too. We are to follow, not try to lead. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
BB and CC, of course, CC is a sister, yeah. But man, he's good.
Oh, yes.
Great song.
Yes.
Great song. Good morning, 744, 16 before 8 o'clock. The Front Porch with Brian Marshall, Side Bottom, the first time, Ken Cummins. And we are talking about here on Independence Day Eve. We're mentioning some of the signers, not all 56, of the Declaration of Independence, the one that everybody knows, John Hancock. And so John Hancock's signature on the Declaration is so famous, and now everyone's signature is colloquially referred to as a John Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the story that he signed his name larger than others to irk King George III is unfounded. As president of the Second Continental Congress, Hancock was first to sign the document, thus had no perspective on the size of his signature. It just ruined my perception here. But nonetheless, few people associated with America's founding were better known as or more popular than Hancock. He was born in Braintree, Massachusetts in 1737. He was orphaned as a boy, raised by a childless uncle from whom he inherited a very prosperous shipping company. So again, listen, these signers, they're putting their lives and fortunes and sacred honor on the line. While traveling in England on business, he witnessed both the funeral of King George II and the coronation of the third one, who we said adios to. Hancock grew staunchly in favor of American independence from Britain, even though his great wealth placed him among elite men who were mostly loyalists. He is a believer in the abilities of the common man and mentored by the firebrand Samuel Adams. That's interesting. Hancock tirelessly incited the people to revolt. He aided the Boston Tea Party, gave a public address commemorating the Boston Massacre, and became a popular hero in 1768 for attempting to smuggle a shipment of wine in his shop, in his sloop Liberty, rather, to avoid paying taxes on it.
Wow.
Riding a wave of popularity, Hancock was elected to Continental Congress 1774. In April 1775, he barely escaped arrest by British troops in Lexington. That's not Kentucky. He assumed the presidency of the Second Continental Congress in 1776. In 1780, he was elected the first governor of Massachusetts. A victim of lavish lifestyle and rich food that aged him prematurely, he died in Boston in 1793 at 56.
Young.
So is John Hancock, so though King George could see it. I guess if you want to tell that story tomorrow, you go ahead.
But how many times have you I have said that before? Just put your John Hancock right there.
Well, now that colloquially is true.
Yeah.
But what they're trying to say is that he signed it large so that King George could see it. Well, I'm sure he saw it.
Oh, yeah.
He sure didn't make the old boy happy.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned Samuel Adams. Again, another Massachusetts guy. Samuel Adams was an unsuccessful businessman who failed at many ventures.
Wow.
Including losing the brewery he inherited from his father. He was born in Boston, graduated from Harvard with a master's degree, and earned a reputation as a tireless revolutionary. His first love, and I don't know why, politics, and he became a behind-the-scenes agitator with his passionate writings against taxation of the colonists by Parliament. So you can say that Britain was on his tail. He also stirred the colonists to a number of acts of defiance, including the Boston Tea Party. He helped found the notorious Sons of Liberty, inspired Boston and other towns to create committees of correspondence, and was the first to propose a Continental Congress to unite and organize the colonial resistance. Now, don't go to sleep on me, Brian. This is history lesson.
I'm listening.
Did you sleep through history class?
Yes, I sure did.
Now we know. Now, he was considered, now get this, Samuel Adams was considered so dangerous to British goals in the colonies that in April 1775, the royal governor sent troops to arrest him for treason. He fled Lexington on the night of April 18th and barely escaped the arrest the night before American and British troops faced each other on Lexington Green. Adams served in the Continental Congress until 1781 and then continued to serve the new country in a variety of capacities. Now, he must have eaten right. He lived till he was 81.
Oh, wow.
And so, I'm just going to pick another one at random. I mean, there are 56 of these guys that gave their fortune here. Let's just choose one. Again, these are interesting. They're all from various backgrounds.
Okay.
But don't forget that line tomorrow, or even now, in the signing of the Declaration of Independence. They put on the sacred honor, their lives, and their fortune, and signing that. And you can go a little bit further, and I'd recommend reading Wall Builders. And you can go to that website. You go out to Wall Builders, it'll give you more in depth of what happened and some of the sad things that happened in the lives of these people.
Yeah.
John Hart. John Hart's family moved to from New Jersey, and his family moved near Hopewell, New Jersey, shortly after he was born. He received no formal education and lived and worked on his family farm his entire life. Now get this. He is known to his neighbors as Honest John. He enjoyed great success as a leader in his community, both in business and politics. In addition to having acquired a significant amount of property, including saw and grist mills, Hart was also an accomplished public servant. He was elected to a lot of offices, including Justice of the Peace and Country Judge. He was elected to the New Jersey Assembly, and it goes on and on. But Hart opposed parliamentary taxation and the station of British troops in the colony. And so he was sent as a delegate to the Second Continental Congress in 1776. He assumed the role of Speaker of the Lower House of the New Jersey Legislature. Hart's farm was destroyed when British troops invaded New Jersey in November 1776, and he was forced into hiding. When he emerged from exile after the American victories at Princeton and Trenton, he learned that his wife had died while he was gone. Hart became ill in 1778, was forced to retire from public life. He died at his family farm at age 68. Again, you're getting into the cost of freedom.
Yeah.
Lives, family, sacred honor,
yes,
and sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Now, as we think about this, I sometimes get so amazed at some of the things that people will say about the founders and holler racism and all of that.
Yeah.
I don't read a bit about that. It's about life, sacrifice, sacred honor. Benjamin Franklin.
Okay.
There's one you know, didn't you? You met him one time, didn't you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Long, long time ago.
The story goes that after Benjamin Franklin signed the Declaration of Independence, he turned to his colleagues and said, "Gentlemen, we must now all hang together, or we shall most assuredly all hang separately." He was the oldest signer of both the Declaration of the in the United States Constitution. A self-made businessman and self-educated intellectual, a politician, author, inventor, printer, scientist, scholar, and diplomat. Wow. He was born in 1706, same year Brian was born.
Yeah.
He stuck out. He struck out on his own as a teenager and eventually set up a shop as a printer in Philadelphia. He published a newspaper called the Pennsylvania Gazette, but more popular was his Poor Richard's Almanac, which you've all heard of that, when he published from 1733 to 1758. He was prolific, energetic. He founded the first lending library in America and the first fire department in Pennsylvania. He also conducted scientific experiments that improved the understanding of electricity, oceanography, and meteorology. He was credited with inventing the Franklin stove, bifocal lenses, thank you, sir, and the lightning rod. Franklin's long career in public service began in 1736, and continued on and on. A very interesting character. So he was elected as first president of the Pennsylvania Society for promoting the abolition of slavery, by the way. He committed himself as early as 1730s to that. What a life.
Oh, yeah.
See the range of people that signed the Declaration of Independence. 56
yes.
of them.
Yes.
They, their lives, their sacred honor, and their fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And we're standing here today because of the freedoms that so many bought and paid for with their sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.